وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين، بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى elevate you in your status. آمين. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, tonight was the 19th Taraweeh, and the 20th para was recited in Taraweeh tonight. It commences with five proofs of Allah's power and oneness, and all five are mentioned in an interrogative mode and manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the questions and Allah replies himself. So the first proof is that Allah, who has created the heavens and the earth, and who has sent down rain from the skies, creating beautiful and lush gardens, better or those partners attributed to Allah? Definitely Allah is better. Second proof, Allah is that true benefactor who has made the earth a place of tranquility. He has made rivers flow on its chest. He has placed heavy mountains on its back, and He has placed a barrier between sweet and bitter water, preventing them from mixing. Is it justice to equate idols to this benefactor and powerful being? Absolutely no justice. Third proof, at the time of difficulty, oppression, sickness, and hardship, who is called? Lifeless idols or the Lord of the universe? Undoubtedly, we call on the Lord of the universe. Then the fourth proof, who shows the way in the darkness of the land and sea? Who sends cool winds before sending down rain? Is it Allah Ta'ala or handcrafted statues? Understand and reflect that your handcrafted statues are of no worth whatsoever. The fifth proof, who created humans the first time and who will create them a second time? Besides Allah Ta'ala, is there any other deities which you can present? And besides Allah, you cannot present anybody else. The Quran's general style is that it deduces the divinity and oneness of Allah Ta'ala by the realities of human life and universal spectacles. It makes the whole universe a field of discussion and thought, until even its antagonists are forced to accept that besides Allah Ta'ala, there is none who can do all these works. After the belief of Tawheed, the second fundamental issue which the mushrikeen could not understand was the issue of a second life. They used to say, how is it possible that we and our forefathers ascend, then we will be resurrected a second time? In answer to their silly and hollow objection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and warns the mushrikeens that whatever has happened to the past mushrikeen can happen to them also. Travel in the lands and see what was the plight of the sinners. Fasiru fil ardi. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Thereafter, some scenes of Qiyamah are mentioned. The universe will only remain until the time when the trumpet, the horn, is blown. When Hazrat Israfil alayhi salam blows the trumpet for the first time, then fear and awe will overcome all of creation in the heavens and the earth. The second time the trumpet is blown, death will come to everything in the universe. When it is blown the third time, then all will rise alive from their graves. As the surah began with a mention of the greatness of the Quran, at the end we learn that it is man's good fortune if he holds firmly to the teachings of this blessed book, the noble Quran. Surah Qasas was the next surah that was recited in Taraweeh. The major portion of this surah deals with the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in Fir'aun. The surah begins with the hurufi muqatta'at, ta'asim, mim, and immediately thereafter discusses the truthfulness of the Quran. Then the beginning of the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is mentioned. Surah Qasas informs us that Fir'aun was very powerful in Egypt. He had exceeded all bounds in pride, oppression and injustice. He had divided the people of Egypt into different ranks and groups, like the colonials and the imperialists of today, so that the leaders would not face any fear of a uniform collective strength of the general masses. So the Bani Israel, who had become the largest minority in Egypt, were the main targets of this oppression and injustice. Allah Ta'ala intended to raise the weak and make those who were subservient the leaders. In these conditions, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was born. His mother was troubled because she knew that if Fir'aun's henchmen came to know, then they would not leave this newborn child. So Allah Ta'ala, who is all wise and all knowing, guided her. She built a box, placed the beloved of her heart in it, and handed it over to the waves of the river Nile. Floating on the water, the box was lifted by one of Fir'aun's servants, who placed it on the lap of his wife, Hazrat Asiya. Fir'aun wanted to kill the innocent child. This is Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. However, Allah's decision was something else. Definitely, only that occurs which He decides. Man's planning, his schemes, and his programs all come to naught. So Asiya spoke in such a way that the hard-hearted tyrant's heart melted. So on the other hand, due to excessive grief, the child's mother was in such a condition that she had no tranquility and rest at all. In her thoughts, she could only see the box falling into the hands of her own people and the blood spurting out from the child's neck. So Allah, who is most merciful and most kind, gave comfort to her disturbed heart and promised her that He would return the child to her. Now, how did this miracle become manifest? How did the impossible become possible? This is not man's work, but it is Allah's work. Many wet nurses attempted to breastfeed this hungry child, but he was not prepared to drink anyone's milk. His sister, pretending to be a stranger, was watching the scene, and on her advice, the distressed mother was called, and taking her to be a wet nurse, the child was placed in the lap which it had been desiring. So his real mother. So Fir'aun had made such a system according to his thoughts that no Israeli child could drink from its mother. From the beginning, Allah Ta'ala destroyed this plan. Allah Ta'ala's decision was that the child which was to become a threat to the greatest oppressive leader of the time must be nurtured under the care of his rule at his expense. Thus, that which the true Lord Allah had decided had occurred. The plans of the false claimant of divinity were unsuccessful. When Musa alayhi salam had grown into a young man, he mistakenly killed a Coptic person. On the advice of a loyal person, Musa alayhi salam left Egypt and took the road to Midian. Yea, he knew nobody. There was no place of residence, nor any means of earning. So he spread out his hands to Allah Ta'ala, who nurtures him. He said, O my Rabb, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. We must also read this dua. It's a very comprehensive dua. Verily, my Rabb, I am in need of that goodness which you sent down to me. This dua of his can be likened to an ocean in a teacup. Everything which man is in need of is included in this dua. Man is in need of shade as well as the sunshine. Man is in need of being awake as well as asleep. And there are many, many other needs for men. While sitting under the shade of a tree, two modest and honorable women came along herding their goats. Due to his kindness, he drew out water from the well for them and gave water to the goats to drink. The girls were intelligent. They went to their father, Hazrat Shu'ayb alayhi salam, and praised the strength, piety, and trustworthiness of this unknown traveler. Musa alayhi salam was called by means of one of these girls. Not only did he get an honorable and comfortable place to stay, A proposal of marriage was presented to him with a few conditions by Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam. After marriage, Musa alayhi salam was once returning to Egypt with his wife when he saw a blazing fire in a very cold jungle. Inni anastu nara. He went forward to get fire. Here he was granted nubuwat. The being who granted him nubuwat also granted him the miracle of the staff of the asa and the shining hand which he put under his armpits, and commanded him to speak words of truth to the one who had made the earth difficult for the servants of Allah. So that was Fir'aun. He must go and speak to him the truth. And he was not prepared to accept any being greater than himself. That was Fir'aun. So the words of truth were conveyed to him. Fir'aun did not want to accept. And so he didn't accept. So Allah Ta'ala lifted him and his army of troops and then handed them over to the wild waves of the sea, together with the slogan of material progress. Only Allah's name remained. The incident of Musa alayhi salam and the remaining part in different places in the Quran has many valuable lessons and advices. We are mentioning a summary of these few years, which are of great benefit. If people are patient over difficulties and problems, then in this world and in the year after, good results will be attained. Whichever person places his trust in Allah Ta'ala in his matters, Allah Ta'ala will definitely ease his difficulties. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever acquires a quality of ishq, intense love with Allah Ta'ala, the largest forces of falsehood are insignificant in front of him. If any servant stands up with the banner of truth and has complete steadfastness, then he will gain supporters and assistance, even from his enemy's party. The person whose heart is saturated with iman is prepared to sacrifice everything, even one's life, for his iman. The greatest effect of slavery is that man is deprived of the soul of courage and determination. That is why the Bani Israel refused to enter the blessed land. Being vigilant on the earth is the right of those people who remain steadfast in the field of endeavor and toil. No matter how powerful the force of falsehood is, eventually it is compelled to face defeat by the order of Allah. It is Allah Ta'ala's habit that whichever nation is regarded as low and despised will eventually be made the vicegerents of the land by Allah Ta'ala. That person or group who turns away from accepting the truth purposely, then Allah Ta'ala snatches away from them the ability to accept the truth. So this is what happened to Fir'aun and his supporters. Great deviation is when, due to following the truth, man is granted success and then he himself turns away from it. This is what the Bani Israel did. Another great deviation is that instead of following the truth, man tries to make the truth conform to his desires. In spite of being prohibited from fishing on Yom HaSabt, the Israelis tried to evade it by their own schemes. Due to the evil actions of people, oppressive rulers are appointed over them. Saving their nations from the slavery of humans is a sunnah of the Anbiya. So after mentioning the incident of Musa alayhi salam and the end result of Fir'aun, the people of Makkah are given a warning in many different ways. From among the Ahl al-Kitab, those who believed are praised. Mention is made of the ignorance and foolishness of the mushrikeen. Advice is given to abstain from being deceived with the wealth and possessions of this transitory world. After these subjects, another proud and disobedient person like Fir'aun is mentioned, and his name was Qarun. Regarding his lineage, he was from the family of Musa alayhi salam. Majority of the ulama have mentioned him to be the paternal cousin of Musa alayhi salam. Perhaps he was more wealthier than even the international capitalists of today. Never mind his treasures, there was a need for a huge group of strong men just to lift the keys to his treasures, the vaults. So this abundance of wealth made him proud and arrogant. So then Musa alayhi salam explained to him that he mustn't be boastful of his wealth and riches, because Allah Ta'ala doesn't like those who boast. So he advised him that he should spend his money which Allah had granted him to attain the pleasure of Allah. As Allah had shown kindness to him, so too should he show kindness to the slaves of Allah. He should not oppress anyone, nor should he use his wealth in unlawful avenues. However, he did not pay any heed to these advices, And he gave that answer which every foolish and proud rich person gives. I have achieved this wealth due to my intelligence. So when those people who were drowning in the love of this world saw the splendor and beauty of Qarun, then their mouth also began watering and they desired to be like him. It so happened that Allah Ta'ala caused the earth to swallow Qarun together with all his treasures. The punishment of Allah Ta'ala opened the eyes of the worshippers of the world. Then they conceded, if Allah had not favored us, then he would have made the earth swallow us. And in the last verse, Allah Ta'ala says, Kullu shayin halikun illa wajhu. Everything will be destroyed besides Allah. All decisions rest with Allah, and towards him shall we be returned. The exemplary final result of a king like Fir'aun and a rich person like Qarun is a proof of this claim. Everything will be destroyed besides Allah. Then the surah ends with Surah An-Kabut, the beginning portion of it. Surah An-Kabut, the spider. The subject matter of the surah is the same as that of other Makki surahs. And the theme of the surah is Sunnat-e-Ibtila. That is, in life, tests and trials are definitely going to come. And in the Makki life, the Muslims had to face many difficulties and tribes and trials they encountered. And from amongst the people of Iman, the greatest trials came to the Anbiya. Therefore, in the surah, incidents of Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Musa, and Hazrat Harun alayhi salam have been briefly mentioned, so that the people of Iman will know that trials and tribulations will come to the people of truth. But these tests are temporary, not forever. Eventually, the people of truth attain victory while their opponents are defeated. At the end of the surah, the idols of the mushrikeen have been likened to a spider. Just as the spider's web is so weak that it can neither save the spider from cold and heat, nor can it defend it from strong winds. Similarly, the mushrikeen's idols are weak. Neither can it save them from harm, nor can it provide any benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on haqq. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.